Hare Krishna. Well, yesterday I was going to do this podcast, but then I got a little distracted. But the day before yesterday was May the 1st. And I guess it's Labor Day all over the world. That wasn't the significance of what I wanted to talk about, because it reminded me, I was, the day before yesterday, I was speaking with a group of five new young men who are all moving in now over the next couple of weeks to the temple here in Budapest. And I was trying to encourage them not to sort of wait the next week or weeks or month that they were going to all come, but to just do it. And I told them that when I finally decided that I was going to move in the temple, which was that was in 1973, sometime in, I think, January, and I'd been going to the temple myself and my wife, because I was married at that time. And finally the devotees asked, when are you going to move in? And so then I agreed on May the 1st. And that was sort of a deadline. It proved to be a bit of a ticking bomb in terms of my relationship with my family, as well as my wife. And I was telling the boys that at a certain point I realized, you know, what's May 1st? Why am I waiting for May 1st? Is there something, some kind of sacred day or some special event? Why don't I just, if I'm going to go, why don't I just go? And so I ended up going, but I'm not sure whether it was the 26th or 28th of April, one of those. And then I just moved in. And I'd been, although, you know, there were devotees who were trying to convince me to sort of tell them move in. I was explaining that I was around for about 4 or 5 years before I moved into the temple, so it's hard for me to pressure somebody else who's been taking their own time. And the sort of underlying theme of why I was remembering that was that ultimately it was just the encouragement, the attractiveness of devotees that encouraged me to move. Particularly there was Urma Shloka, who was the temple president, and his friend, who was the vice president, Vishwakarma. He was a brahmachari, and he was always encouraging me to leave my wife, which I ended up doing to the surprise of the temple president. He was expecting us both to move in, and when I showed up alone, looking around, trying to ask where my wife was, I told her I dropped her off with my mother-in-law. And Gokulananda Prabhu, who's still in Montreal. And so those devotees were the devotees who really attracted me to Krishna consciousness, preached, encouraged to actually make that commitment and move in. And probably without that encouragement, I would have never done it. I was practicing Krishna consciousness by that stage. I was chanting 16 rounds, and because I was a vegetarian a long, long time before that. And so that special attraction that Vaishnavas communicate is, but I didn't, because I didn't really think very much about the temple. I never looked at where devotees sleep, where they bathe, what they do. None of these things really occurred to me. The only thing that was in my mind was that devotees were encouraging me to do this, and I sort of felt this type of obligation. I couldn't say no to them. And of course, there was Prabhupada, but I'd never met Prabhupada at this stage. And I was reading Srila Prabhupada's books, but remember, at this time there was only up to 3.1. Those were the only books in print, 3.1, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya and Bhagavad Gita, and Krishna book, that's right. These were the only books. Recordings were very, very rare. I would come to the temple, and then they would give me this one cassette of Srila Prabhupada, and I can't remember. I remember playing it because cassette recorders had just been invented at that time. So that was a very new thing. So I had this one cassette, and that's all I'd listened to for a whole week until I came back. Although it was very, very difficult for me to actually figure out what Prabhupada was saying. I had real trouble in the beginning with Srila Prabhupada's strong accent. That was May the 1st. It just sort of brought back that memory. That was a long time ago, and it bears testimony to the fact that Vaishnav Thakur Tumara Kuku Polita Janmahoy, that success of Krishna consciousness is really based on the mercy of Vaishnavas. Vaishnavas showing mercy to others, and our own individual Krishna consciousness is very much dependent upon the mercy of Vaishnavas. And if devotees reflect that very attractive feature, which is actually Krishna, because Krishna consciousness makes everyone attractive, then people come. At that time when I joined, that year, I can't remember how many people, but so I came May 1st, or just before May, and probably in the next 6 months we had about 15 devotees. It was like falling from the sky, coming in at the temple, devotees moving in. And it was basically because of the real wonderful atmosphere, kirtans. We had extraordinary kirtans at that time, and it was a very, very wonderful family mood. Of course, family mood is easy when you're relatively small. Maybe we were 25, 30 devotees, and it was very family-like because, literally speaking, we lived in one room. We lived in a bowling alley, and that bowling alley had a 6-foot high. Well, it had a 15-foot high ceiling, and we had walls that were 6-foot high, so everyone heard everything, everyone knew everything, everything was together, and that's how we lived, and that was how we were going to conquer the world and take over the world. So anyway, just a little remembrance from May the 1st, at least. I didn't get the day off on Labor Day, but it was a good thing to remember. Hare Krishna.